You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
A former justice of the United States Supreme Court, Oliver Wendell Holmes, was known for his forgetfulness. One day he was on a train leaving Washington, D.C. Approaching Mr. Holmes, the conductor of the train noticed that the justice was fishing for his ticket. In vain. The conductor assured him, "It's all right, I know you. If you don't find your ticket, send it to us later." The justice replied, "That's not my real problem. What's really bothering me is that I don't know where I'm going." All of us are on a journey. It's a lifelong trip. Do you know where you are going? At the beginning of this new season of broadcasting the Lutheran Hour, begun 57 years ago and now starting its 55th season of broadcasting, I want to ask you a serious question. Do you know where you are going? Where is your ticket to that destination? You are on a journey you never made before. You will not be able to repeat it. Are you on the right track? Or are you wandering aimlessly about, as a great figure in history was wandering aimlessly about until he heard and responded to the call from God? That man was Abraham, father of many nations, and also the preeminent father of long generations of people who have come to have faith in God and in his promises, which God fulfilled with glorious reality in the coming of God's own Son, Jesus Christ, to save the world from itself. Living in Ur of the Chaldees, serving the idols of human making which people worshipped in that land, Abraham heard the call of the living God, the one who made heaven and earth. Anyone else might have turned away and kept on doing what he'd always been doing, on the well-known theory that a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Abraham listened. What's more, he responded. What's even more than that, he took action in response to the call of God. Answering God's call to go out from his homeland to a land he'd never heard of before, Abraham went. When he got there, he did not know that he had arrived. He lived there in tents, as the writer of the letter to the Hebrews tells us, with Isaac and Jacob and their families. During his whole journey, he had no continuing city, but looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. God was not ashamed to be called the God of that man. Abraham went, acting only on faith in God, and treasuring the promises from God, one after the other. Practically all of those promises were unlikely of fulfillment, including the one that this aging man would have a son through whom he would father many nations. Abraham's wife, Sarah, laughed when she heard it. Her laughter was turned into surprised joy when she became pregnant. That promise was fulfilled, and Isaac was born. By this time, Abraham was living on the promises of God alone. He was not looking for a place where he could buy some land and build a city. The fact is that he never bought any land except the plot where the cave Machpelah was located. There he buried his beloved Sarah, the attractive woman to whose lips laughter came easily. Abraham moved from place to place, even down to Egypt at one time, with no continuing city, but looking for a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. As many people have found out, implausible as it may seem, this is the way to live. Trusting in God calls for faith of a high order, a faith in promises still to be fulfilled, a faith in promises that stands tall in all its serenity because it is focused on God. For over 20 years now, I've gone almost every year on a fishing trip with Harry Barr, former president of the Lutheran Layman's League, sponsor of this broadcast over all these years. Fishing not only has a good biblical precedent, but it's a great way to renew friendships and to spend the evening, as we do every night, talking for a couple of hours about the role faith plays in our lives. Now that Harry has departed to be with the Lord, his sons, Tom and Dick, organized this last fishing trip in the spring of this year. Before we began our evening discussion, Tom put one of these newfangled tape-playing machines on the bank of the river and played a recording of an owl caller, issuing in stentorian tones the calls owls send to one another as darkness falls. Tom predicted that eventually the trees above us would be filled with owls. Everybody laughed. Later on, he repeated the procedure, and the laughter became hilarious at Tom's apparent confidence that eventually some owls would respond. Just before going to bed, in tents along the riverbank, Tom ran that tape machine again. This time we heard the sound of a distant owl. Pretty soon owls were gathering, and eventually flashlights were spotting owls in the tops of the trees around us. They had obviously come not only from the immediate area, but even from the countryside across the river. The convention of owls began calling to us, and one of them continued until 5 o'clock the next morning. Tom had never done this before, but someone told him that it would work. His credibility was tested to the last extremity, and then was vindicated when the prediction of his friend was fulfilled. The owls had a good time, apparently, getting to know each other better. So did we. If something like this can happen against all expectations in the ordinary course of human events, why should God be denied the confidence of humanity when he makes promises that turn life itself into a journey toward a destination, instead of aimless wandering to and fro without point or purpose? To have faith, said the writer of the letter to the Hebrews, is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. It was faith that made Abraham obey when God called him to go out to a country which God had promised to give him. He left his own country without knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as a foreigner in the country that God had promised him. It was faith that made Abraham able to become a father. From this one man came as many descendants as there are stars in the sky, as many as the numberless grains of the sand on the seashore. It was faith that made Abraham able to not keep thinking about the country he had left. Instead, it was a better country he longed for, the heavenly country. It was faith that made Abraham offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice when God put Abraham to the test. Abraham was the one to whom God had made the promise. Having accepted the promise of God as true and real, Abraham started the trek that became the purposeful journey which has perpetuated his name to this day as the father of faithful people who receive the promises of God in good and faithful hearts. Not hesitating to believe when faith seemed foolish, in faith they all came through for God as God came through for them. God has come through with his promise that he would send a Savior to deliver the world from its slavery to sin and would save the world to righteousness that is all his own. That promise came to Abraham, among others, and Abraham believed. God counted that faith to Abraham for righteousness. It's the same righteousness with which people are saved today, the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, the one whom God has sent to be the Savior of the world. Abraham was not saved by keeping the law, but through his faith in God's promises, promises fulfilled once and for all in Jesus Christ. It's God's way of doing things. He saves people in his own way, out of the goodness of his heart. Or as the Bible puts it,
by his grace through faith. God himself focuses his grace upon Jesus Christ, the image of the invisible God, and the firstborn of all creation. Faith in Jesus Christ is faith in God. He's the ultimate fulfillment of all of God's promises, calling the world to repentance and to faith in the person of Christ and in the work he has done to save the world. Faith in Jesus Christ is faith in one who died on a cross. It was a despicable and degrading death. His cross attracts the attention of the whole world even today. People may not believe it, but they cannot avoid seeing it. Christ himself said, "I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men to myself." The cross of Christ is God's way of winning out for the whole world, whose stubborn unbelief is itself a thing to behold, and whose obstinate resistance to God is broken down only by the compassion and the will to save by that great God who called Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees to wander the land, having there no continuing city, but looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. In the next chapter of this letter to the Hebrews, Jesus Christ is called the beginner and the ender of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured a cross, forgetting about the shame, and now he sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He is Lord, whether you or I believe it or not. When the Roman Empire ruled the Mediterranean world, there was a saying, "All roads lead to Rome." Today, many people peddle the idea that all roads, all beliefs, lead to God. That may sound appealing, but it is not the promise of God. His promise is in Jesus Christ, who proclaimed in unmistakable terms, "I am the way. No one comes to the Father but by me." I know this is offensive to some people. They would like to believe otherwise. It seems intolerant to say that Jesus is the only way. But there is no other foundation for genuine faith, no other right road by which to reach God, no other ticket to heaven. That's the way truth is. 2 + 2 = 4. There can be no other answer. Any other answer, no matter how close, is off the track. Know where you are going, my friend. Know where you are going as Abraham knew where he was going. Know where you are going as Jesus Christ knew where he was going. "My food is to do the will of my Father," he said. Know where you are going. Going calls for knowing of a high order. The knowing of God by faith in Jesus Christ, that he is what he claimed to be, the Son of God, come to save the world. And that he did what he had come to do, to suffer and die for the sins of the world. So that out of the goodness of his heart, God might forgive you and give you the life that he alone can give. There are no other ways of getting on the good side of God. Even then, faith is not something you do. It's God's gift to you. Accept the redemption of Christ and the gift of life from God with humble and gracious thanks for the grace that prompts God to do all of this. As Martin Luther used to say all the time, without any merit or worthiness in us, faith comes to you by the power of the good news of God, promising you forgiveness and life in his Son, Jesus Christ. Religious people have to learn this, as do irreligious people. The good news is for all. It's all together in God. Faith, if it is faith at all, is completely focused on God. Not only is there a God who rules the world, he's the God who reaches out to touch your heart even now with the good news of the Lord who died for you that your sins might be forgiven and that you might live. Abraham's hope can certainly be yours. He took the road of faith in God, and God was not ashamed to be his God. Know where you are going. Take the road of faith in God, leading to the heavenly country, the heavenly city, which has foundations and whose builder and maker is God. It's not enough to be sincere in your belief, whatever it is. Sincerity can be wrong. Faith in God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, goes down the road that Abraham followed. It was not just any old God who called Abraham. It was not just any old God whose voice Abraham heard and followed. Abraham believed, as St. Paul tells us, even when there was no reason for hoping and believing. People believe today and are saved in exactly the same way, with faith in the God whose will it is that none should perish, but that all should turn from their own way and be saved by faith in God who has redeemed the world from its destruction. Abraham banked on God. He obeyed God. That's the way to go. When it comes right down to it, it's the only way to go. In the midst of trouble or disappointment, the same Father who came to Abraham along his way sustains you with his promises. My presence will go with you. I will help you. I will strengthen you. God promises to answer your prayers. God promises to sustain you, forgiving your mistakes as only he can forgive, and directing your steps along the road that leads finally to him. Faith is a good road, a way of love and service. It helps you to help others, and it gives you joy. It's a road of trust and obedience toward God, whose grace is never-ending, whose forgiveness is all-comprehending, and whose life is a constant ascending to the heavenly city, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Beyond their work, which so many people worship, beyond their play at which they so zealously work, beyond their worship at which so many people play, beyond all their religion by which no one ever is saved, there is God. He's not ashamed to be called the God of those who trust him and obey him. He's the founder of the city. He's the maker of the city of God. Know where you are going, my friend, along the way. Jesus is the ticket. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Let's travel that way together, always looking to Jesus, the beginner and ender of faith, who for the joy set before him endured a cross, forgetting about the shame, and now sits at the right hand of the majesty on high. He calls today to walk that way, with his cheery promise, "Behold, I make all things new." Amen.